Hello and welcome to the Kitchen Conversations podcast. My name is Patrycja Rozwora and I'm the host of this platform where we speak about contemporary art from so-called Eastern Europe. In each episode, you're going to be introduced to one artist or researcher whose visual or activist practice sheds light onto the complex former socialist region with all its histories, cultures, languages, foods, but also traumas and their inevitable contemporary consequences. The podcast is a fully independent platform existing since May 2020. If you enjoy the monthly conversations, you can support me via Patreon or share the episode with your friends or via social channels.
Mám pocit, že toho v životě můžu dokázat hodně, ale mám strach, jestli to neprofláknu. Učím se fotit. Chci být fotografka. Uprostřed léta přijeli ruské tanky. Mám strašný strach z toho, co přijde. Na umění teď stejně není vhodná doba, říká mi máma. Ale proč bych nemohla žít tak, jak já chci? Musím něco udělat.
Welcome back, everyone. You have just heard a snippet in Czech from the newest documentary film by Klára Tosovská titled I'm Not Everything I Want to Be, that premiered a few weeks ago at the 74th edition of the Berlinale Film Festival. And today I'm talking to Lebuše Jarcoviakova, whose analog photos and diary entries make up the film. At the end of the 1960s, her native Czechoslovakia was undergoing a repressive phase of normalization, following the suppression of the Prague Spring in 1968. Back then, as a young photographer at the beginning of her adult life, Lebuše searches for islands of freedom and her own sexual identity in Prague. And just like today, her camera is her constant companion.
If someone compares you to, says you are the Czech Nan Goldin, what do you say? Are you frustrated or are you flattered?
No, I am not frustrated. I can perfectly understand the people. On the other hand, it's a little bit easygoing comparison.
So welcome, Lebuše, to Kitchen Conversations.
Thank you. Thank you for invitation.
Yeah, here we are in the middle of Berlin, next to Alexanderplatz in a hotel. I never recorded in a hotel. Pretty cool.
It's a little bit ugly part of Berlin.
It is.
Sorry, Berlin. Sorry, Alexanderplatz. For me, it's a very unusual place because when I was used to live here, okay, I was here occasionally, but... I never spend here more time than 1 hour.
You never do. It's just like a transit place. You're here because of the Berlinale.
It's pretty busy.
You are a co-creator of a film about your work made out of your photographs. We'll speak about it more. A film titled I Am Not Everything I Want to Be.
Ještě nejsem kým chci být. The film is based on my photos before the final cut was over 70,000 photographs.
It was one of my questions.
Photos we worked with, and the final result is around 3,000 photos. And definitely I am inspiration for the film and the co-creator in the sense film is made from the photos.
And you are the main narrator, right?
The text was selected from my diaries. I kept from my childhood somehow.
And how did you connect with the filmmaker?
It was very funny because I have a big exhibition in Ireland 2019. After this came such a wave of interest and everybody wanted to have some interview with me, and I met at that time several documentarists. They wanted to collaborate with me to prepare some movie about me, some documentary film, and I was really untouched.
You didn't feel connection with them?
I didn't felt it's the right time, right person. It was difficult. Mm-hmm. Somehow it was too much. And then came Czech TV. They wanted to prepare some small format like Medailon or something like this. And Clara was supposed as director. And it took me at least 3 or 4 meetings with her before I start to register her face, her name, and before I started feeling very strong connection. It was very beautiful moment because I opened her the door of my atelier. I let her to work with the raw material, both diaries and negatives. And it took around 4 or 5 years. The last 2 years, she and her editor, Sasha Kashev, they spent really, they worked like in fabric from 8 to 5, at least every day by editing the movie. I was very surprised when I saw how complex is the material for telling the story.
The first moment, of course, you realize it's photographs. So it's almost like a slideshow of photographs, mm-hmm. of course, in different paces. And you're surprised. We are not used to seeing a film in mm-hmm. this format. But then so quickly you kind of get into that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not anymore a strange thing. You're really following. It's almost actually nice to have like this a bit longer time to see one still image
mm-hmm.
to then change to the next one. I thought it worked brilliantly.
Regarding the rhythm, I think they did amazing work. Also with the music.
With the music, it worked so well.
It's contemporary music used for the photos from another time, actually. Some of photos are really old already, as well as I am. It seems to be pretty much nowadays.
Yeah, definitely. You can read it into current times. Both of your parents were artists?
Yes.
Painters?
Painters, yes.
But you became a photographer.
Mm.
How come?
Through my father, because I'm very happy I have such father as I have. But he was so super critical, and trying to be a painter next to him was probably totally impossible. But I grew up in the visual rich culture, let's say, because they spoke about painting. I saw a lot of exhibitions from early childhood. They had friends between artists and so on. It was the simplest way how to deal with visuality and not to be a painter.
So then you chose photography.
Yes.
Quite early at the beginning of the movie, I think we have a conversation with your mother and she tells you it's not a good time to be an artist.
Uh-huh.
How can an artist say that? What did she mean by that?
I think it illustrated very well her situation, because she was the only in our family who was able to make money. She was doing graphic design and a lot of commercial stuff, because my father he wanted to paint and not to make living. So she was the person who was in charge, and she was pretty much skeptical toward the free art. She thought I am not the right person for this business or this because I was, let's say, shy and not very ambitious, and I was not the person of fight. And she has that feeling it is necessary to be really very ambitious to be good photographer. And I didn't agree with her at that time, and I don't agree with her now. So it was probably more her frustration as mine frustration.
I understand, and I guess parents always somehow want to protect you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yet you went for it, right? You just did you photographed everywhere you went. You even have a camera now. I think you still take photos everywhere, right?
Yes,
I think that's
probably
how you should be. I'm not sure if you should be, but I guess if you're a photographer, you can see it everywhere. So you should always have the tool with you. And I think you did a great job in that.
Yeah, I think it's important. It's somehow part of my life. Okay, I am not working every day in same intensity. It's up and down. But still, it's for me very important to be ready somehow for capturing the important short stories or short moments. Being contemporary in the middle of the life, it's important for me somehow.
In the film, we see you also traveling, which I thought was quite surprising for knowing the reality of living under state socialism. It wasn't easy to travel, yet you managed
All. Not at all. It was really almost impossible. My first journey to Tokyo, it looks like I have had a schoolmate. She married a Japanese man. She moved to Tokyo and she invited me, and I didn't get the permit. We needed two permits actually at that time.
One, so we are speaking about living in Czechoslovakia back then in the
78, 79. You needed to have permit for visa, and then you needed to have some money from the bank. And both was impossible for me. But then somebody gave me good advice. Write to the director of the bank and ask him that you want to make project in Japan and you will see. And it has happened. I got very little money. I could buy very little money, something like $200. And then I got permit for 16 days, which was full 60 days of walking, watching, living. Okay, I was 25, spoke broken English, and have no fear somehow. It was so amazing, so beautiful. And when I came back, I knew this is the finito. I can't travel anymore. And it was for a few years okay, and then suddenly I saw, no, I'm not able to stay here. But also I was not able to escape because I felt my connection to the friends and family and the country is very strong. After several years, I found a husband and I could move to West Berlin, which happened in 85.
And that was at least how the film shows as an arranged marriage.
It was arranged.
Right. Are you still in touch with that person?
Absolutely not, but but he was on the premiere.
Amazing.
Yeah, the production.
So he still lives here?
He is living in Hamburg.
Oh, but
and
he
it
came.
Was big surprise because suddenly he was invited on the podium. And
of course, he's in the film, right?
Yeah, and we saw us after, and I don't know how many, many years, and it was very nice to meet him again.
That's wonderful. In the film, but throughout your life, you say you take photos to prove that you exist and that your life is there, is happening. Can you elaborate on that?
The time I was living was pretty strange, difficult. I have no publicity. I could not share my work. I knew what I'm doing is not for public. I didn't want also because I didn't want to work in assignment as a photographer. And I didn't want to be involved into the everyday's conform Czechoslovakian life. For me, it was important to catch what I am living, where I am living, with whom I am living, who I am. As a proof, I'm here. It was something like try to get some distance from the situation, to understand a little bit what I am living, to describe it. And it was somehow natural, and I did it from early years till nowadays, actually.
So now, of course, seeing the film, you see your life on the screen, and it almost becomes something else. Is it still so close to you, or are you now like able to disconnect from that?
Partly it was necessary because, you know, when you see your whole life from distance and you see it in the public space and you see the emotion which it brings to the audience, it's good to be a little bit outside of all this. And also we decided to working without any censorship, absolutely open. And you see so many the young person who did so many stupid things and losing the way and up and downs and depression and everything. I am living almost on the on other planet from that time. Yeah.
A big part of your archive is showing queer communities, we would today say, of back then Czechoslovakia, which is, I think, a very valuable part of your work. Especially considered the communist reality back then. You're photographing the scene as being part of it. Your lens is not an observatory outside one, but it's your friends, and you photographed a lot in the tea club.
In my memory, it's almost, the tea club is almost ideal place, yeah, because it was very...
An island of freedom.
Island of freedom, warm, a lot of friendship, a lot of laughter and a lot of funny stories. And of course, there are also some behind stories, broken hearts.
Dramas, of course.
Dramas and so on. But when I came there for the first time and my friend Zdeněk brought me there, I saw something which I definitely needed to document. And it took me a long, long time. And especially a lot of vodka day after the day before I was accepted and before I have got access to people. They asked me to do photos, especially on some parties, and so colorful, so free, so warm. It was almost like family life. Yeah, was it special? It's the girl and boys are together. There are not only very young people, they are also sometimes it's somebody elder. I am really happy I have got this opportunity, and I spent there several years and many, many nights. And I'm happy it is something which is a little bit unusual, because nobody expected that in this gray socialist country, a few steps from Wenceslav Square, you can find such a vivid place, sexual freedom, and you can be open somehow.
What's happened now to the club? Is it still existing?
It's closed. I think there is there are many other clubs, mostly divided for gays and lesbian, and I'm not visiting very much clubs, just only sometimes.
Not anymore.
No, you know, this is the question of energy and everything. Mm. Yeah, and, but I like one club in Prague, queer club, where you could be around 6 o'clock, drink some good drink and sit and write your notes. But I'm not ready to do any nightlife anymore.
You were a photographer in a socialist country where, of course, we all know photography is often used for invigilating people, for observing people, for proving how their life doesn't go with the way the system wants them to live.
You know, I was pretty much outsider, and I was not in focus of secret police, because I was really freak. Yeah, my society was very mixed between Roma people and Vietnamese and some ordinary workers in pubs. I have almost no ambition to be political. Even I was political, of course, but I was not engaged in any sense of word. I was always doing some odd job, and I didn't want anything from the regime. I have no children, so I couldn't be simply oppressed. I couldn't be simply blackmailed. My freedom was paid because I have got no advantages from the state.
But you were left alone in that way. You could do your work.
Yes. There were one or two try to get me for collaboration, but it was not possible with me. The Czechoslovakian society was pretty much open. When you came to any pub, The people spoke so openly, so openly against the regime, and everybody knew what's going on. The propaganda was over all us, but they were just words. Of course, there are many, many people, they lived their life in some compromise, and they were afraid, and they were, because of children, because of apartment they wanted to get. Also. But I have got the opportunity to be, to go through this time by my own way, and it was possible. So
It's so beautiful to hear that, because somehow I'm born after the fall of the wall, so I hear more about stories, and we think that it was not possible to actually be who you want
to
be.
You were ready to pay your price, and you didn't want to get any medals and any Zustimmung of Deutsch. It was possible.
Mm-hmm. In the film, I also have a feeling that, or maybe the way how the film is constructed, that you're always looking for something. You're looking for your place, you're looking for your islands of freedom, you're looking for your identity. At the end of the 80s, you're here in Berlin when the system collapses, and you go back home.
Yes.
And till then, you stay there. You still live in Czech Republic. Did you find your place eventually?
Way to home was very quick, because in the March of 90, I fall in love into the one woman from Prague, and I was back in a few days. And we are living together since then.
Prague. So you went back for love?
Yes, yes, yes. Otherwise, I will stay here for longer, because Berlin is an excellent city. And the moment I left Berlin, I was already on the beginning of a good way can I survive and be a photographer. And
you at the beginning said I'm a photographer, but I'm also an educator, and I think it's a big part of your practice. Can you teach someone to become a good photographer, or are you just a good photographer?
I hope I'm trying more to help them to be good person, be inspirator, motivator maybe. For me, it's important, this authenticity and this looking and searching and everything around me, what I have done in my life. So I don't want to have... in the school 10 small Jarcoviakova, so they have pretty much freedom in their work. You know, I'm getting almost every day new impulses and new point of view and new music, and it's wonderful. Not everybody has as big luck as I had got through this film, and also through the exhibition in Arles. And I was discovered in the age around 60, and I enjoy it. Sometimes it's too much, but never mind, I can survive it. And that's all somehow.
I'm super happy that the film is there, and through the film also people can discover your work. And I know you also published books.
With my curator, it's important to say, Lucia Černá. We are preparing the book on Tea Club, which will be published hopefully April, May this year. We are collaborating with wonderful Polish book designer Ania Nalecka-Milach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's already done our first book. I have really good luck to be among young people. They are able to take time and to go through my archive, and that's wonderful.
Yeah, I think good people is everything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
For the very end, I wanted to speak briefly about food. The podcast is called Kitchen Conversations, and as a tradition, at the end, I always finalize by speaking about favorite food from home, since I have people from all different Central and Eastern European countries. What is your favorite Czech food, or maybe
Czech
some other food?
For me, it's maybe the best kitchen, Asia kitchen, and especially Japanese kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I love cooking. Unfortunately, I love food.
Wow, it's good.
It's a way
to the soul.
Yeah, but it has some folk. It has some
consequences.
Consequences. Yeah. The Czech food. It's Probably it's most something like fusion nowadays, the combining of all the influence. I love all the food blogs and seeing somebody who cooks something wonderful. It's amazing. So I'm trying always something new. So I can't say...
It's hard to choose one.
So ramen.
All right. That's perfect for this weather.
Yeah, traditional Japanese ramen, strong soup. This is perfect.
Great, and it connects also to, of course, you've been to Tokyo at a young age. Like experiencing it from firsthand. It was wonderful to talking to you.
Thank you for inviting me. I like it very much. I like atmosphere and I like questions.
Thank you so much. And this was it for today. Thank you for reaching till the end of this podcast episode. The next one is coming in 4 weeks, always on Monday. Please follow the podcast and leave a rating if you're listening on Spotify. There is two ways you can support the further development of this platform. Number one is to buy the Kitchen Conversations cookbook, Homey Recipes from Artists, that features home dishes from the first 17 guests who appeared on the podcast. And number two is to become a patron of Kitchen Conversations and support this platform with an amount of your choice that starts with $2.50 per month. More info you can find on patreon.com/kitchenconversations. In the meantime, take good care and we hear each other soon.